Well, good morning, church.
Good morning.
Nah, hold on. I think I'm sure most of you here, because we are here to praise Christ Jesus, right?
Amen.
Amen. Good morning, church.
Good morning.
All right, there we go. Pastor John, thank you for that very, very warm welcome. And let me say welcome to all of you, especially if you're here for the first time, either here in the sanctuary or joining us online. It is a privilege and honor to be able to speak to you, to present God's word this moment. And so I do want to thank you. You know, we could have chosen anywhere else in the world to be, right? But you're here right now in this moment, in this time, to praise Jesus alongside me, to hear God's word. And I'm excited about that. Pastor John had a lot of good stuff to say right there. And let me just add on to that, that for those of you who perhaps aren't a part of a local church body, I think all the members of Belmont would attest that this is such a great family to be a part of. This is a place where you can believe and have faith in Jesus Christ. As Pastor John said, you can belong to a body of believers who will encourage you, especially throughout the week. And probably most importantly, this is a place where you can truly become all that God has called you to be. So we are in a sermon series entitled Your Kingdom Come. So if this is your first time, You're in for a treat. As Pastor John said, we're working our way through the book of Matthew. And really our prayer throughout this sermon series is that we will more tightly embrace our identity as citizens of the kingdom of heaven. Last week, as Pastor John mentioned, we talked about John the Baptist, who was really the forerunner of Jesus and is announcing the arrival of kingdom of heaven. Along with the announcement, John was also issuing a call to repentance, which would gain you entry into this kingdom. We see people confessing their sins. They're being baptized in the Jordan River. I mean, John the Baptist is really doing his thing. He's garnered so much attention that in Matthew chapter 3 and verse 7, we even see that the Pharisees, the Sadducees, or the religious leaders of that day, they're coming on the scene. They want to see, you know, what is all this fuss about? Who's this guy, John the Baptist? You see, they were counting on their heritage to secure them a spot in the kingdom. And John warns them of this self-righteousness, which we'll get into a little bit this morning, which really has them in a bad spot. John is not only calling the people to repentance, but he's also letting them know that the king of this kingdom will be baptizing people with the Holy Spirit, which, if you don't know, is far, far greater than anything John the Baptist could have ever imagined, right? And this, my friends, is where we pick up today. The focus of Matthew's gospel now shifts to Jesus' public ministry. In our passages today, we see that Jesus comes from Galilee to be baptized by John the Baptist, and as a result, God the Father will testify to his Son. Because of this, you and I should remember, you and I should be reminded that our ministry is not about us, right? Our ministry, the reason we're all here, it's about Jesus. Our righteousness, church, as believers, it comes from Jesus. And like Pastor John mentioned, he loves us, right? And he is pleased with us. So the title of today's message is Affirmation of the King. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for this opportunity. Lord, thank you that we're here at this time in this place, surrounded by you, surrounded by your love, surrounded by your grace, surrounded by your mercy. Lord, I don't know all the different things that we each have going on, even here for myself, just thinking about the week and with the week ahead. Lord, I ask that for all of us here in this moment that you would soften our hearts, ease our minds, that we would be receptive to the word. Lord, move me out of the way. This is for you. This is about you. Lord, speak to your people. Let it be so now. Lord, we love you so much. It's in Jesus' mighty name I pray. And the church said, amen. So today we will be covering Matthew chapter 3, and we'll be going through verses 13 through 17. And as I mentioned, this is going to take us to a point past John the Baptist coming on the scene. And if you haven't already, I see some of you with your Bibles open. If you haven't already, I'm going to invite you to open up your Bibles or maybe your Bible apps. And if you'll turn with me to Matthew chapter 3, And as we pick up the story, if you'll follow along with me as I read. Matthew chapter 3, give you just a second to get there. Verse 13, then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? Jesus replied, let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him or pouring out on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. So as we pick up the story, we come to understand the hour has struck for Jesus, right? The moment had arrived. The time had come for the affirmation of the King. And I'm going to go ahead and give you our 3 points this morning, like a good preacher, I'm following good preaching rules right now. I got to give you 3 points. I'm going to give them to you now. And just a shameless plug, as Pastor John already alluded to, we've got wonderful, wonderful community groups. And the thing that I love about it is it gives us an opportunity to really unpack what we hear and what we learn about on Sunday morning. So if you're not taking notes, let me encourage you to take notes, because I also developed the discussion questions. So I've got the answers, and you'll probably get a few of them this morning if you're taking good notes. So point one, our first point this morning is John's affirmation. Point number one is John's affirmation. Point number two is purposeful affirmation. And our final point this morning will be the Father's affirmation. John's affirmation, our first point this morning, simply shows us that John is affirming the King, or pointing to us to Jesus, and he's giving us a reminder that it's not all about us. I'm going to reread verses 13 through 15, and as I do, I want you to see if you can pick up this feeling of John feeling perhaps unqualified, this feeling that maybe he's not the guy for the job. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John does what? He tries to deter him, right? He says, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? And Jesus replies, well, Jesus is like, let it be so now. It's proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. And then John consented, or John affirmed the King. He proclaimed or advanced Jesus. And so the question for you this morning is, have you ever felt unqualified to perform the work Jesus was calling you to? Have you ever felt unqualified? Now, most of you here are probably too young to remember my story, how I came to be, or perhaps you are new if you're joining us online, and you're like, I don't even know who you are. It's my first time joining. Again, I'm Wes, in case you missed that. And I want to try to get you out of here by like 2 or 3 p.m. So, no, I'm just kidding. I'm going to try to get you out of here soon, so I can't give you my whole story, but I'll try to be brief and give you a short snippet of it. I was a young man simply out here trying to serve and give my life for the sake of others, right? Really, all I wanted to do was be discipled. I wanted somebody to show me and tell me and teach me who Jesus was, what he could do for my life. And I was willing to do really whatever I needed to serve the church and to point people to Christ. So, I mean, I'm out here, and you can ask Pastor John, it's a true story. I mean, I would go scrub toilets, I'd come trim the hedges, I mean, I'd vacuum the carpet. Whatever was needed, I was your guy. Call me up. As time passed, I also then began to get various opportunities to serve in leadership capacities. So ministry team leader and small group leader and prayer leader and deacon. The truth is, church, part of my story is really that I felt unqualified. Perhaps I would reason to say almost at every turn. Never in a million years, church, would I have even dreamed that I would have had the opportunity to be standing before you now as an elder, assisting other pastors, helping to shepherd a local church. preaching God's word. Never did I step back to think that my service to others, my service to my church, would really point people to Christ. But I certainly had feelings like John the Baptist of being unqualified. I was really wrestling with a lot of emotions over this, and this is, goes back 6 or 7 years that I'm just wrestling with these emotions, right? In my flesh, I'm like, I just don't feel ready. But others saw the calling on my life. And it's funny because I even tried to deter people like John the Baptist did with Jesus, right? I'm like, you know, John, I don't know about that. Tim, I love you, brother, but I'm not ready. Looking back, I never really had it in my mind that no matter what I would be doing, no matter what role or whatever capacity that I was serving in, it would ultimately result in my affirmation of Jesus. As I read these verses, I see a picture of Jesus walking up. He's walking up to join perhaps the baptismal line, or he's walking up and there's a crowd of people standing around waiting to be baptized by John the Baptist. John the Baptist, he's preaching this message of repentance and asking people to come forward to be baptized. And it's interesting, John, he had to have felt something in his spirit that Jesus was coming near, because the very first thing we see, he's like, wait, I need you to baptize me. Why on earth do you need me to baptize you? You're the man here. Jesus, you're the one we've all been waiting on. You are who I need. But as we know to be true to God's word, with God's word, there's a bigger picture going on here, right? John is here to affirm the king. Initially, John, he's startled, right? He's startled and unwilling to baptize Jesus. But in the end, John actually, he's affirming Jesus' worthiness by actually not wanting or feeling unqualified to baptize him. John had to be reminded that his purpose wasn't about him. Like John the Baptist, my purpose as an elder is to point people to Jesus. And so, church, for you, whatever your purpose may be, whatever you are being called to, it ultimately amounts to pointing people to Jesus. And perhaps you're here this morning and you're missing that bigger picture for your life. Perhaps you are like me and you're like wrestling with these feelings of feeling unqualified. Perhaps knowing God is calling you to do more. Perhaps it's time for you to put your ego aside and point others to Christ. John affirms the king by performing this baptism. And in the work, the ministry you are called to, church, may you be reminded that it's not about you, it's not about me, it's not about us, it's about affirming Jesus. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's not about us. Our second point this morning is purposeful affirmation. Verse 15 says, Jesus replied, "Let it be so now, for it is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness." Then John consented. Our second point, purposeful affirmation, is simply Jesus pointing to his purpose. And this purposeful affirmation, as you'll see on the screen here, it really happens in two ways. The purposeful affirmation happens, number one, through identification. So Jesus, we're going to see Jesus identifies with you and I by bearing our sins. And number two, he affirms his purpose by giving us an illustration of how we are going to be made righteous. And I'll just give you a clue. We are made righteous, church, through Jesus' death, his burial, and his resurrection. As we continue into the second point, I want to further set the backdrop of what Jesus is doing here in Matthew and unpack this purposeful affirmation, or again, Jesus' purpose here. Jesus is inaugurating his public ministry, and he's now identifying with repentant people of God like you and I. Our second point today is critical, so I want you to really, really pay attention, because this is, I think this is the real meat of these scriptures right now that we're looking at in verse 15. You see, up to this point in the scriptures, we as people have rebelled. All right, we've fallen and we've got no way back into the kingdom. This is one of the beautiful places in the Bible where we see Jesus truly operating in a human sense, giving us a practical example of baptism to go by. This, church, was the moment Jesus had been waiting for to point to his purpose. If you were here last week or perhaps saw the message from last week, Pastor John reminded us that never in all history before had any Jew submitted to being baptized. As you may recall earlier, I mentioned they were going off their heritage. They were like, I'm one of the chosen people. There is no need for me to be baptized. Baptism was only used for those who were coming into Judaism or from another faith. The Jews, they had never even considered that they, the chosen people, the sons and daughters of Abraham, the ones assured of God's salvation, would ever need baptism, right? For the first time, Jews, Gentiles, were all realizing their own sin of being self-righteous. They're realizing having this conscious thought of really needing God. Through this act of baptism, Jesus is identifying himself with the very men he came to save. He's identifying with you, Darius. He's identifying with you, John. He's identifying with you, Jason, and myself. Everyone. And get this, church. Jesus, he's giving us a picture of his future baptism on the cross, which ultimately affirms him as king. Jesus replies, "Let it be so now. It's proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness." John consents, it is proper for us. I want you to close your eyes with me for a moment. Now, don't go to sleep, all right? Just close your eyes. I need you to imagine something with me, all right? If you're joining us online, I want you to close your eyes too. I want you to imagine with me for just a moment that you're John the Baptist, all right? The work you're doing, it's going well. People are taking notice of your ministry. It's growing. You're doing big things. You're kind of the man around town, but you know that the purpose of your work is to point people to Jesus. You're baptizing people with water, preaching that someone is coming after you whose sandals you're not even worthy to untie. I want you to imagine for a moment that you're preaching about someone who's so powerful, the Bible says you can't even carry their shoes. And as you open your eyes, suddenly Jesus arrives on the scene and says, "We have to do this to fulfill all righteousness." Well, like, what does that mean? How is all righteousness fulfilled exactly? I don't know about you, but when I read that, I'm like, I need answers, all right? And you may be like that, like, what are you talking about, Wes? What is the Bible really telling us right now? Let it be so, it's proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. What did Jesus mean? If you are taking notes, I'm gonna give you a quick answer to your sermon recap right now, so I'm going ahead and put that out there. God's righteousness means that God always acts in accordance with what is right and is himself the final standard of what is right. John spoke of repentance, church, and those experiencing it were looking forward to a coming Messiah, a Savior who would be righteous and who would bring in righteousness or goodness, worthiness, guiltlessness. The Savior, he would bring in what is right, what is good, what is worthy. If Jesus were to provide this righteousness, this goodness for sinners, if he were going to fulfill all righteousness, then he must identify with sinners. Let it be so now. Church, this simple act demonstrates Jesus' willingness to take on a servant role, a role that helps us. It helps us to identify with Jesus. And in case you missed it, righteousness is fulfilled through Jesus' death, his burial, and resurrection. A purposeful affirmation is happening in this moment, church. Jesus is affirming, as I said, he's foreshadowing what's to come on the cross. When Christ died to pay the penalty for my sins, for your sins, it showed that God was truly righteous. This is why we need Jesus. Our righteousness comes from Jesus. Remember, we have all rebelled up until this point, and we need a way back into the kingdom. Jesus has made that way for us, church. He's made that way by getting baptized when he didn't even need to be baptized, right? I mean, this is Jesus we're talking about. He didn't need to repent or be cleansed from sin. Jesus didn't need forgiveness from God. No, Jesus instead uses this moment to identify with you and I who he came to save. This is amazing. This is beautiful, church. This is purposeful affirmation. Turn to your neighbor and say, purposeful affirmation. If you're online, you can type it in the chat, purposeful affirmation. Jesus was confessing sin on behalf of the entire nation. Church, let me be clear, we're not righteous on our own, all right? But because of Jesus' love for us, we have a way back in. Jesus always acts in accordance with what is right. And as I said, he is himself the final standard for what is right. We have a Savior who has affirmed his purpose and identified with you and I. Our final point this morning, we're going to look at the Father's affirmation. And we're going over into verses 16 and 17 now. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was open, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him, or outpouring onto him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, who I love. With him I am well pleased." You all still with me? Everybody still with me? Because we got a lot to unpack in these two verses. All right? So stay with me. What we're going to see in these verses, I know we had a lot of affirmations, but this is the end-all, be-all. These verses really ultimately affirm Jesus as King. Specifically, this is the moment that was for all the people by the river. All right? This moment is for you and I. In this moment, we get a picture of the Trinity affirming the Godhead. This moment actually shows us three members of the Trinity performing three distinct activities. God the Son is being baptized in verse 16 and is then spoken to from heaven by God the Father. And God the Holy Spirit also in verse 16 is descending from heaven to rest upon and empower Jesus for his ministry. The Spirit then anoints, and in verse 17, the Father speaks. And so practically, if you and I, if we obey the will of the Father, going through baptism, allowing the Spirit to anoint us, it not only opens the door for the Father to speak to us, but it also opens the door for the Holy Spirit to empower us and go before us. This church is our example of how Christian baptism works. I'm reminded, I think it was a couple weeks ago, you may remember Imani right up here got baptized, and it was a beautiful, beautiful picture. If you weren't here, it's just amazing. Every time someone gets baptized, I'm reminded of the point in my own life when I got baptized and how great that moment feels. This is why, if you remember, Pastor John, or maybe it was Joel or both of them, they always say, "I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk in the newness of life." If you ever wonder where that came from, I'll give you a little clue right now, Romans 6:4. Church, we're baptized into the Father's righteousness. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love and am well pleased." The voice from heaven that we read about, this is the Father's, and testifies that the Father has broken silence and is again revealing himself to human beings. So now if you're a Bible scholar out there, you know that the Father only revealed himself, I think, like a handful of times in the Bible. So this is one of those rare times where we see the Father revealing himself. The Spirit's descent in verse 16 has to be considered along verse 17. And I want to be clear, this outpouring or lighting of the Holy Spirit, it doesn't change Jesus' status, right? It would be easy to read this and think, well, this is the first time the Holy Spirit is coming on him. No. This is completely different from me being assigned to the office of an elder, right? These verses further identify Jesus as the promised servant and son. And like I said, what's interesting is that just like us getting baptized, if you are here and you've been baptized before, and Imani can probably speak to this, it probably felt like a beginning of sorts, right? Here at the very beginning of Jesus' public ministry, the God is presented in a veiled way. All at one time, he's presented as the Messiah, the very Son of God, representative of the people and a suffering servant. This wasn't the Spirit coming on Jesus for the first time. This church is instead a picture of what had actually been prophesied earlier by Isaiah. Verse 17 actually alludes to Isaiah 42 and 1, which I'll give you right now. It says, "Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one, in whom I delight. I will put my Spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations." The Spirit is being poured out on the servant. Namely, the Spirit of the Lord would anoint the Messiah. The Spirit of God anoints Jesus as Israel's king and Messiah and commissions him as the righteous. And there's that word righteous again, right? Not only that, the righteous servant, not only that, but the coming of the Holy Spirit like a dove identified or confirmed Jesus to John and certainly to the bystanders, those standing around, that, yeah, this is real. This is the guy we've been waiting on. And this is also confirmed in John chapter 1, verses 31 through 34. This assured Jesus as he began his public ministry that the Spirit's ministry would always be his. Just like Imani, or if you have been baptized before, you can rest assured knowing that you've been baptized in that righteousness and that the Holy Spirit will always be with you. This, church, is the gospel moment. Jesus, the beloved Son, the triumphant messianic King, yet he is also the humble servant into whose hands the Father is well pleased to place the mission to bring salvation to the nations. Period. And let me be clear, the Father was already pleased with the Son, right? It'd be easy to read these verses and think, well, was this the first time he's pleased with his Son? No. As I said earlier, this was for the people there bearing witness. This was for John the Baptist. This is for you and I. Jesus didn't need affirmation from the Father. The act of baptism, church, sends us into the righteousness of Jesus. We gain access to that goodness and that worthiness wrapped up in Christ. And furthermore, you and I can know without a shadow of a doubt that the Father is pleased. He's pleased. When he sees you, know, church, know. Pastor John said it earlier in his welcome. Know that he is pleased. Turn to your neighbor and say, "The Father loves us." If you're online, you could type that in the chat. The Father loves me. Church, we see here the connection with Christ in death and burial and resurrection. Right at the very, very beginning of Jesus' ministry, we get a picture of the end, the climax. His immersion portrays his future death and resurrection when he comes out of the water. And now, every person, if you're here this morning, every person who trusts Christ, if you've never trusted Christ, you have the opportunity, if you trust Christ for salvation, you have access to this Christian baptism, immersed in water, a picture of our dying to our sins and to ourselves and rising to new life in Christ, right? That new beginning. Knowing you're free in Christ, church, this should bring you joy. Pastor John said earlier, a lot of us, myself included, thinking about all the trials from this past week, even waking up this morning and getting a new trial and thinking about the trials I got to think about for next week. I mean, there's a lot of things going on in this world, especially if you're watching the news. It can really bring you down. But this church, this should bring you joy. And it should remind you that you and I, we can live this earthly life without feeling like a failure. You can go through each day knowing the Father loves you and is well pleased. The Father's affirmation. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for the scriptures. Thank you for the word. Thank you, Lord, that we know this morning that even if we're having these feelings, maybe wrestling with feeling unqualified to perform a certain role, or perhaps you've called us into a ministry to do something more for the life of the church and for the life of others, Lord, thank you for reminding us that our goal, our mission is ultimately to point people to you. And Lord, we thank you so much that we have access to the righteousness wrapped up in the person of Christ, that we have access to calling you Lord and Savior. And we have that goodness and that, Lord, ultimately you're well pleased with us when we do accept you, when we do go through this symbolic act of baptism, that you're with us, that you're guiding us. Lord, I just want to pray for anyone this morning who may not know you, either here in the sanctuary or watching online. Lord, I just want to pray for them right now in this moment that you would touch them. Whatever that wrestling feeling is that they're going through, Lord, that they would actually be brave enough to ask questions, to come forth and maybe want to know more about a relationship with Christ. Want to know more about this joy we're talking about, this righteousness, with the Father being well pleased with them. And Lord, for the rest of us who may already have a relationship with Christ, who perhaps, like me, has been baptized years and years ago, let us be reminded, help us to be reminded in this moment through this prayer, Lord, that our purpose on this earth is to point others to Jesus. Lord, we love you so much. We thank you for this opportunity this morning to just soak up your word. Be with us as we leave this place. It's in Jesus' name I pray. And the church said, amen, amen. Church, I want to remind you, you have the same purpose like John the Baptist had. Whatever God's calling is on your life, whatever that may be, let me encourage you right now to step up and really get involved, all right? Stop making excuses. Remember, Jesus came to this earth to do many, many things. And one of which he came to identify with you and I. All right, church, I want you to remember that Jesus, he identified with sinful people through his substitutionary life and death. And we have access to this, so we've got to embrace this. We've got to share this good news with others. All right, this is a cause for us to be joyful. If you're here this morning, and as I prayed, if that was you, if you were like, hey, Wes, like I really want to know more about a relationship with Christ. Perhaps you're struggling this morning as a believer and you're like, you know what? I just really need some prayer because I've lost that. All right. The connection card that Pastor John mentioned earlier, do me a favor. If you haven't filled that out already, put that prayer on there. All right. Or if you have filled it out, you can fill out another one. Fill out two connection cards. You'll get a bonus point at the end of the service. Fill out another one, and we just want to hear from you. We want to know, as John said, how we can connect with you and be praying with you. I want you to make sure that we all know and believe that once you're truly, truly in Christ, the Father is pleased with you. All right? Love you guys. Thank you.